Hey, COC! Happy Mother's Day! Come on, guys. You get your own day in a few weeks. Just give it up. Can we take a minute and just say thank you to our moms and honor them for a few seconds? Is that cool? This is my mom. Thank you, Mom. Happy Mother's Day to you. I love you. Beautiful woman right in front of me. Happy Mother's Day to you. You're welcome. I'll give you your gift later. Hey, if you're a mom, we want to say thank you for being a mom and being a great one at that. We have a gift for you before you leave today. Should get it when you walk out. This is not a cookie cutter. This is actually a form of discipline. It is a forehead indenter, okay? Put it right there. If your kids are having trouble obeying, this will probably work. One time is all that's needed. So want to give you a gift. Make sure that you know that we appreciate you and say thank you. Great to have you guys. Starting a brand new series called Parentology. It's interesting. Before we go any farther, I want you to know up front, we did a series last year on marriage called Man Versus Wife. We've been known to do parenting and marriage series before, and I try to space those out a little bit, but what's crazy is we had a lot of people on the back end of that. We offered a kind of want to know more class called Reengage to Parent or to Marriage, and on the back end of that, we asked for feedback, and a lot of people said, could you do a parenting series? And that was kind of interesting because we just did one like a year and a half earlier, but that's cool. We will answer and give you what God has to say. We won't reinvent the wheel very much, so the first few weeks we may be revisiting some stuff, and some of you are going to be out there like, hey, whoa, I heard that before, all right? Or that sounds familiar. Don't shut us off in that moment. Some of you are out there, and I've heard this already. Hey, I'm already done parenting. They are all gone. You know, they're out of the house, even though you're like privately saying, or not telling us that your 40-year-old son just left last week. Because you're like, it's done. Break the plate, you know. Some of you are like hiding that. It's like, I'm done. Some of you are like, I'm a grandparent. I don't need to parent. You need to relearn how to parent, grandparent. All right? You hear that, Susie? Claire? Uh-huh. Y'all know what exactly I'm talking about. We drop our kids off at grandma and grandpa's and they come back and Grandpa let you did what? Nana said what? Like, boy, I was introduced to the backside of the hand if I would have said that. So you need to relearn. This series is for everybody, honestly. If you don't have any kids in the house, I promise you they'll probably come back in a few years. So don't worry about that. So this is for you to revisit that. Some of you are grandparents, and some of you need to learn what the word discipleship means and how to pour into your parent or to your children's lives that are raising kids. Show them, introduce them on how to do that. So this is for that. This is for everybody. It's a great, great, great message and concept. Anybody here invite a guest to come this week? Anybody? Raise your hand. 3, 4, 5 people. Okay. The rest of you are sinners because God asked you to invite somebody to church. This is for a free professional family photo shoot. All right? So make sure you invite somebody. Everybody can learn something from this series, so make sure you do that. We also realize that as we teach this series, we've got probably 4.5 good, solid total worth of hours in 6 weeks that we can pour into you and tell you what the Bible has to say about parenting. And that's not a whole lot of time. So we want to provide you with more and deeper resources. We have a Go Deeper Resource Center out there that has actual 2 tangible books out there for sale at cost to you if you want to know some more. Guy James Dobson, I don't know. He says he knows something about family. So his book's out there, George Barna's book. But we also provided you with kind of a recommended read list that we wanted to let you know. These are some phenomenal books on godly parenting, and we actually established our own Church of Celebration Amazon store that you can go to this email address. The card's out there at that table. You can look on there and can order the books at cost right there, and these are some recommended reads. I really feel like I'm an infomercial right now, but that's all right. I was asked to tell you a few things about this series, so I'll remind you each week. This is the card that I want you to grab a hold of, and I want you to hold on today. It's inside your programs. It's called Parentology 101. Right now, everybody should be doing it. If no one's doing it, look at them right now. Give them an evil look right beside you, right now. It's like you should be doing what the pastor said to do right now. Okay? Right here. You need to grab this card. I want you to hold on to this card, okay? Because again, like I said, we got about 4.5 hours worth of information for you in 6 weeks. That's not enough on biblical parenting, trust me. So what we've done is we've established a chance for you to grow deeper in parenting, kind of what we did with the Man versus Wife Marriage series and offering Reengage. We're offering Parentology 101. Gives you a chance to go a little bit deeper, a little bit farther in knowing what the Bible does have to say about parenting. This class starts on June 24th, the Sunday following this series, and it runs for, I think, like 5 weeks. We've recruited some great, godly, seasoned veteran parents to be teaching this. Andy and Nancy Lockridge, awesome, awesome people, head up our counseling ministry. In addition to that, our prayer ministry. So they're going to be teaching one of those classes. In addition to that, Claire and Susie Barrett. If you want to know what the pastor was like as a kid, they're teaching a class. Come find out. I was a good kid. I was a good kid. Amen, Claire. Not even in here. See, what's he teaching in class for? Is he not even in here right now? So, hey, grab this card because we're going to talk about this. This is going to be kind of the main response. But here's what I want to say up front about this particular series before we go any farther. I'm probably going to upset some people in this series as I share some ideas and concepts about what the Bible has to say about parenting. Just know that up front. I'm going to make people mad. Go ahead, put it on the comm card. I don't even see if it's an ugly, nasty comment about me anyway, because I got people filtering it. But go ahead and write it. But I want you to know there's probably not a chance for me to speak truth into your life without it offending you. So know that up front. So I'll just start off right now just ticking people off from the beginning and just say this. God has given parents, moms and dads, the role, the God-ordained role in children's lives to take control, to be the decision maker for your children, even when they're kicking and screaming. Now, you know that our kids have a game plan, right? You know that. Their game plan, because I remember what my game plan was like. The game plan for your kids are to drive you ridiculously insane. That's what their game plan is. This may come to a shock to some of you, but you need to hear this today. Because it'll set the preface. You're not supposed to let your kids call the shots in your home. Okay? Here's what you need to know. Today, more than ever, our kids have unionized. You don't believe me? Just look around. It's a great precursor. Take a look around. You tell me what you see in malls and stores and restaurants today. Even in your own living room. What about the toddler who cries until she wears her mama down and gets to go not only once, but 3 times on the carousel after she was told only once? The teenager who looks at his dad in the face and says, "Beep, you," and stalks off. The dad who allows his overweight 12-year-old to fill the grocery cart with Twinkies, Oreos, Coke, and Nutter Butters, then simply shrugs when the boy downs 2 packs of Twinkies as they stand in the checkout line. The 7-year-old who gives his mom the "I dare you to do anything about this right here," steely glare as he pushes the broccoli off of his plate and watches it fall to the floor at the restaurant. The 16-year-old who flips off her mom for not giving her money for a movie, then demands the car keys that night. How about the 14-year-old dressed all in black who has attitude written all over her and gives every sign of going the wrong direction? The 3-year-old who spends his day screaming, kicking, and crying to make sure his parents appease his every whim. It all goes to show that in today's society, children even shorter than a yardstick are calling the shots. They're part of the entitlement group. They expect everything and anything good to come their way. And no work on their part is required just because they exist. In their eyes, the world owes them, and it owes them big time for existing. Some hedonistic little suckers of the ankle biter battalion have been graduated to emeritus status and are even holding down the hormone group division. Then there are the already adult children who return home to your cozy little nest, and they stay and stay and stay. Yeah, we're going to make some people upset in this series, probably today from the beginning, so you need to understand that up front. So here's what we're going to attempt to do in this series. I'm not going to come up with a catchy, flashy, big idea like we do in some of our series. I'm just going to tell you this. Here's the best way to know how to parent. Learn what God's plan is for better parenting. How do we develop God's plan for better parenting? Now, when I thought about how do we introduce this particular series and what do we talk about, what's the topic, I didn't want to complicate it because chances are we're going to overload your brain. You're going to walk out of here feel like, oh, man, dude, as he just read that, that's my family. That's my kid. That's who saw them. And you're going to be overwhelmed and you're going to be like, how do I make changes? Listen, you're not going to make changes immediately. It's going to take some time. The goal is this, is for you to walk out of here and understand your perspective may be on the wrong person, and it's been on the wrong person for a long time. Your perspective has been on your children, and it's been taken off of you, and more importantly, it's been taken off of God. And as you point to your children saying they just don't know anything, there's a few fingers pointing right back at you, and you need to pay attention to what those are. So I don't want you to walk out of here feeling like, oh gosh, this is going to be a long, long series. So here's the target today. The target is this, is if we could nail down and narrow it down and slim the categories, if there was one issue that we could tackle effectively as parents, the one thing that we would be ensured that when our kids leave home, they would take with them, the one idea that best defines what I believe today's society pictures as the modern family, I believe it deals directly the heart of honor. The issue of honor. Think about it for a minute. If there was one thing that you could be ensured at being a successful at parenting, the issue of honor towards authority in particular has to take center stage, especially in the culture that we live in today. It really does. Let me ask you something. How many of you out there right now, I mean, without hesitation when I say this, we got a great response to the first service too, but how many out there can remember your mom at one point in time when you were a kid come to you and tell you to do something, you question it, and then they said, because I told you to, that's why. Oh, look at this. And everybody's hands went right up. Nobody even hesitated. How many of you out there remember your dad coming to you one time and saying to do something, and they said, you know why? Because I'm your dad. That's why. How many remember that? Y'all remember it. Son, why aren't you raising your hand up right now? You raise it up because I said so right now. There we go. Because I said so. I'm serious. When you heard those words, can you remember those words? Because I said so. My mind as a little kid was like, really? Really? That's what you're going to use? Because I said so? And how many of us right now have the integrity, have the character, have the honesty right now in those moments when you heard your mom and dad say those words, you thought, that is the most stupidest answer I think I've ever heard in my life. There we go. Yeah, you're right there with me. You're tracking. And by the way, I don't need any comments about bad English. Stupidest is a word. I've got the microphone. You said to yourself, that answer is ridiculous. Because when you first heard it, in your mind, it has to make sense. It has to be logical. You feel as a child, you have to have the point proven to you in order for you to do it. And in those moments, you made the commitment down deep in your heart. When I become a parent, I will never, ever, ever, ever give that answer to my kids. You said that in that moment. I mean, I get it. It was deeply frustrating. It was confusing in the moment to hear the words, because I said so. I've thought through it and I've tracked it. I'm like, maybe if my mom and dad could have just said, you know what? I really don't have an answer right now. Or maybe if my dad would say, you know, I'm not quite sure why in this moment. Or my mom would look at me and say, you know what? I don't really have an explanation right now. Something along those lines. That's better than because I told you to or because I said so. That answer means nothing. In my mind as a child, that's what I thought. But what if, I'm just going to propose a thought. What if possibly, just maybe, in the moment that they learned it from their parents, and their parents learned it from their parents, and their parents learned it from their parents. Because every generation has said, because I said so. Maybe, just maybe, what if the very first mom and dad that started saying, because I said so, what if in that moment, when they said, because I told you to, because I'm your parent, because I said so, maybe, just maybe, that moment actually meant this. Because I am your father, because of the very fact that I am your mother, there is a minimum, at the very best, or at the very least, a minimum level of honor that that position requires of you. What if? I mean, sure, in those moments, because I've had the moments too with my kids. Surely in those moments I could come and say this, you know, Isaac, I'm telling you, I could explain this to you and go into detail about why you need to take out the trash before you watch cartoons. I could do that. I could. Cheris, I could tell you why you need to pick up your room and your toys in your room before you go over to Nana's and go swimming. I could tell you that, Cheris. I could. I won't even go near Isaac or Caleb. That's a whole nother story. I'll go back to Isaac because he's in here. All right. I could share with you, Isaac. I could share with you why you need to do your homework before you go outside and you ride your scooter. I could do that. However, chances are, daughter, at the end of the day, your 9-year-old little sinner's heart will probably still disagree with me anyway, even if I explained it to you. Now, I know you guys are out there. And some of you are saying, man, Pastor Josh, your home must be awesome. It must be unbelievable. If I could just spend a couple hours at your house observing what's going on, let me fill in the blanks for you. You would never come back to church again. We are far from perfect. Can I get an amen? And I love my kids desperately, but let me tell you something. before you feel like we are shredding your face and kicking it in this message today, please know the Holy Spirit already does that with me before I even have a chance to deliver it to you. I have to self-examine, and we are not perfect. Maybe in the moments that we actually said, not whether you agreed with me, not whether you think it's fair, not do you think we should take a vote about this, kids? Maybe, just maybe, because I am your mother, because I am your father, with that role, according to this, comes at very least, a minimum level of honor that demands from you. I'm serious, folks. Don't miss this. What if that understanding, because I'm your father, because I'm your mother, that by the very nature of the position that I hold in your life, that God put me into your life in this, however short, long you want it to be, 16 to 18 years. What if by that very nature, as your parent requires honor from our children, what if, I'm just proposing a thought, what if that is the greatest, most single important lesson that you could teach your children? What if? Here's why the issue of honor is so vital in our children's lives. Let me explain it to you so you get it. I promise you, I guarantee you, all of our children's lives, there will be a moment, there will come a day when your kids are gone, in which your children will encounter this. Face to face. Nobody else around, nobody else going to explain it to them, that they're going to be off at college and their friends are going to be heading off to the parties. They're going to be asking them to come with them, and they've grown up a little bit more and they're going to be in their professional life at that moment in time, and all the other salesmen are lying about the sales moments just to get ahead and get the contract before someone else does. Or they're going to be living in neighborhoods where there's multiple men and women that are having multiple relationships outside of marriage. There's going to be a moment when you're not in the room. And they're going to come face to face with this, with the scripture of what it says. And they're going to open it up in their moment that they're having some confusion and they're having some frustration about knowing I really need to do this. And they're going to be thinking about this, and you're like, you know, and they're going to start justifying in their minds. You know, God just maybe didn't understand when he wrote that verse about that. Or God, you know, I just don't know if you get what I'm going through. We are desperate here economically in our household, and I have got to make this sale. Any way that I can make it, I got to make it. And I just don't think that you understand the position that I'm in when you wrote this verse. God doesn't understand the pressure I'm under in this moment. When your kids are face to face. See, you don't think that far ahead for your kids sometimes. So you miss the moment. And in that moment, you and I as parents will have to have done our very best with the little short amount of time that we had with them to have prepared them for adulthood to hopefully, Lord willing, be able to say in that moment, you know what? I sure don't like that verse. I don't care for that verse very much. I don't like God's answer there. But my vote doesn't count. Because God said so. See, some of you are like thinking, you just got blasphemous right there. You open up the Word of God and you challenge God by saying, I don't like that verse. You know how many times I've read Scripture and said, I really don't like that verse. It's okay to do that. I have never been struck dead by lightning by saying, God, I don't like what you're saying right here. What I do at the end of it is what's important. It still doesn't matter. Why? Because God said so. The most important lesson that you and I may end up teaching our children is the lesson that they will help them navigate through the toughest moments of life is that when somebody in spiritual authority says so, you do it. You know why this is hard today? I believe this is one of the reasons why it's hard today. Because when we look at authority in our lives from a global stage, a lot of leadership is demonstrated poorly. For example, we've had past presidents, Watergate. I did not. Inappropriate relationships with White House staff. I did not. Only what? To find out that I did. Or what's worse to evangelical movements of Jesus Christ today is when televangelists in the name of Jesus live their lives poorly. Or pastors of large churches devastate them and put a cloud of doubt on the name of Jesus because of a bad decision as a leader. We've watched, even in the most recent years, major corporations kind of cook the books up, change the course. So most everywhere you look today, at least from a global stage, you'll see some form of bad leadership. And that message says basically one thing. This is the response to that. No. Don't you dare ask me to trust that leader until that leader earns it in my life. And what's crazy is it just so happens that idea, that frame of mind is actually what the majority of society in their view on parenting is today. What a lot of kids are believing. This is the visual image of modern families today. This is the message regarding leadership. Leaders need to earn leadership. Now, when I say that, it doesn't sound all that threatening. In essence, it's kind of like, you know what? That's not a bad idea that leaders need to earn leadership. But let me turn it over on its head and put it in this context. And you tell me real quick. Hold that thought. Leaders need to earn leadership. Hold that thought true in your family. It would go something like this. Your 8-year-old daughter comes to you and says something like this. Whoa. Time out, Dad. Time out. Back up off all of this. Wait just a minute, because here's the deal, Dad. I think you're way off base. I mean, you haven't had enough time with me, Dad. We've only had 8 years together here, and I don't trust your leadership completely yet. Some of you are like, I'll give you another example. Your 16-year-old son comes up to your wife, Mama's, and says this to your face, Mom, you're nuts. You're insane. This is really jacked up in what you're telling me. You're not being fair. And by the way, Mom, who proclaimed you to be judge in my life? Because it's just that, Mom. It's my life. Plus, you're really old, Mom. You're like 38 years old. Therefore, at this point in time, Mom, I don't trust your leadership. Now, you and I would sit back and say, you know what? That really sounds pretty absurd when you put it that way, doesn't it? I believe the Bible tells us one of the greatest lessons we could teach our children is that of positional leadership. What do you mean by that? Honor. Because I am your dad. Honor, because I am your mom. Honor, because I am your papa. Honor, simply because I'm your nana. Honor, because what? Because I'm your teacher. Honor. Honor, because I am your coach. Honor, period. No questions asked. Honor because you are the police officer. Do I even need to go down that road right there? What if one of the most important lessons we could ever teach our children is to honor those in authority? Now think about this for a minute, folks. This idea, this honor, is really a foreign language. It's a foreign idea in most modern families today. So tell me, PJ, tell me, what does that honor look like that you're talking about? Okay, I'll share with you from Scripture. Very, very simple passage. Romans chapter 13. If you got your Bibles, we're going to read the first two verses there. All right, here's the background. Here's the background right now in Romans 13. The Christians are living under Roman government rule, and it's evil. It's oppressive rule, okay? Rome as a whole has absolutely rejected Christianity. It is not a fun environment to be in. It is not a very flattering environment to be a Christian in this period of time. In just a few short years following this period in which this is written, they will actually introduce the first forms of Christian martyrdom, those that gave their lives for Jesus Christ. It's coming. It's on the heels of this time, and they'll soon be killing followers of Jesus Christ. So at this point in time, the Roman government, the established authority, they have done nothing whatsoever in any way, shape, or form to earn the respect of the early Christians. This is the setting. Romans chapter 13, 1 through 2 says this. Everyone must submit himself to governing authorities. For there is no authority except that which God has established. Okay, this is a little comforting because it's telling me that regardless of what form of government that is going on over me or leadership, positional leadership in my life, it's telling me that God has allowed this to happen. So there's a reason for it, but this is what I know. This is why. The authorities that exist have been established by God or allowed by him. So consequently, this is what it tells me, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. You get what this is saying, right? Look, it's saying it's great when a leader earns the right of respect. It's great when a leader fills the shoes of leadership. But according to this passage of Scripture, you get that's not the requirement. Sometimes you and I honor simply because of the position, and we trust God with it, regardless. So right here is when God is asking you and I to instill within our children's lives this idea. Look, I'm going to ask you to honor me as mom and dad, because someday I'm not going to be in the room. I'm not going to be around, because someday you're going to face a critical moment in life that you're going to be asked to honor God simply because he's God. And if I have failed to teach you what honor is about, if I have failed at that lesson of teaching you honor because I said so, here's what I know. You will fail in that moment when you're face to face, and you will change. You will change the spiritual trajectory in your life that God has planned for you. That is why, my son, that is why, my sweet little daughter, you must learn this concept. I will always, always, always require to you, my son, to you, my daughter, because I said so, because I am your dad, because I am your mom, really, really is an answer. So how do we instill honor in our children? Okay, again. You're not going to walk out of here and this is going to happen. It's not. It has taken time for society to become the way it has become today. But I believe as followers of Jesus Christ, it's time that we reclaim society a little bit. So you have to be aware of some things, some simple things that you can change. So how do we instill this honor that you're talking about? One verse. It's simple. Proverbs chapter 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Okay. All right, what do you mean? Get this verse in context. It's not the end, it's the beginning. You understand? You don't get knowledge by demonstrating knowledge after some of the context. Listen to what we're talking about. It's fearing the Lord is the beginning conversation. Then here's what I know. Fearing my parents is the beginning of parenting. What? Expound, please. Expound. How many of you have figured out in your life that when you don't obey God, spiritually speaking, you get a spiritual spanking? Some of you are lying through your teeth right now. You know exactly what I'm talking about, because God comes to us and he says this idea. Listen, when you disobey what I tell you in this word of God, I'm going to show you grace, but sometimes that grace comes through discipline. You're going to get a spanking. It's as simple as that. So if fearing the Lord is the beginning conversation, then fearing my parents has to be the beginning of parenting. Now, right now is when somebody will back up and say, "Whoa, whoa, 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 PJ. I have no inclination and no desire, and I'm not even sure that I ever want my children to fear me." Then I can tell you, based on scripture and based on the passage that I just read, you can be guaranteed of one thing for sure. I promise you, your children will never learn honor from you if you don't want them to fear you. Think about this. It's a healthy fear. When I disobey, I get spanked. I get consequences. And some of us are wondering, I'm serious, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to look at this and think what's wrong with our society today. You're wondering why your 15-year-old flips you off in your face. We, as parents, are contributing to the problem, folks, because our kids don't fear us. According to scripture, the beginning of understanding comes from fearing the Lord. So basically what that passage means is this: real, genuine understanding of God comes from what? Fearing the consequences of not knowing God. So that'll preach, people. That will go somewhere. I'm not going to go there for sake of time today. But that will go there. I promise you the same holds true in parenting today. If I disobey, I get discipline. If I do wrong, then something happens as a result of my wrongdoing. I'm going to get spanked. Now, some of you are like, "That's so old-fashioned. That's legalism." No, it's not. It's not legalism. It's not conservatism. It's biblicalism. That's what the Bible says. Take a look at it from this perspective this morning, folks. When we don't land, when we fail to land the concept of instilling and teaching honor within our kids, here's what happens. This is where it's going to get a little sticky up in here. This is where we will get up into some grills and it will bother some people. When we can't land this concept, you and I begin to become threatening and repeating parents. You know what that looks like, right? I'm going to tell you to do something, Isaac, I'm going to tell you that you must do this. But don't worry, I'm not going to back it up. Okay, you're sitting out there. I don't know if I get that. All right, let me explain it this way. Some of us need to be hit head on by a Mack truck. So we'll just do this. Little Tommy is 5 years old. He's at the grocery store. Mama, I want a pack of gum. I want a pack of gum. I want a pack of gum. You are flustered because you got to go pick up the kids. You haven't even had a chance to do your coupon. You know, the whole thing like that. And you're like, no, Tommy, not today. And we got to get out of here. And that doesn't seem to work. Mama, I still want a pack of gum. I still want a pack of gum. Tommy, mommy said no. This is your futile attempt in the moment to instill honor within your child. In this moment, 5 years old. You're like, 5 years old? Yeah, 5 years old. Try infant. Right, try the baby crying at nighttime, 6, 8, 10, 12 months, and realizing, if I cry, mom will come. We won't go there. All right, we won't go there. Mommy said no. You're being firm? Good for you. Tommy responds because he knows what's going on right here. Here's Tommy's response. Ah! And you're like, oh my gosh. So your response, oh yeah, you want to go there? Here's where we'll go. Mommy's going to count to five. Can I ask you right here, why? Some of you, I know, right now, up in here, we're challenging some of your parents. And say, I can't defy. I know. But here's the fact. All you are doing is giving him five more seconds to continue dishonoring you. And the thing is, we don't even get there. One, two, two and a quarter, two and a half. You know what Tommy's doing while you're counting? Tom is grabbing, kicking, floundering, grabbing for the pack of gum. And you know what you do? Because you don't even get to five. You grab it, you give it to him just to shut him up. I know some of you are like really scared. Like, dude, was he at Fry's last week when you just saw me? No. I used to count. I don't count anymore. Let me ask you something, as I just explained it, because some of you are like, dude, you just better back off. See, some of us have never heard it put like that. Let me ask you something. Who won the battle right there? Now, listen. When we parent this way, from the standpoint of giving them these options, every day then becomes a contest or a competition of who is going to win today. Who's going to win today? How many more times? And you're like, my kids don't. Oh, yes, your kids do think that way. How many times, how many more times is it going to take for me to beat or best my dad today? Or beat or best my mom today? And Tommy's still 8 years away from being a teenager. Anybody want to take a chance and guess what those contests are going to look like? And I got an amen from all of the teenage parents out there today. Let me tell you. I believe this is truly biblical. Chances are a confusing way to grow a child. it sets you and I at a constant war with our kids. Here's what it's teaching our kids. Later on in life, when you're no longer around, when it's just God and them, it teaches them that they can be gamblers with God. I can gamble with him. This concept of parenting teaches that someday when they leave your house and they enter into the real world, this is their thought process regarding positional leadership, authority that's in their lives. It's all right, kids. You can get away with disobedience with any authority for a period of time. And get away with it. You just have to get the authority figure that's in your life in that moment and time not too ticked off at you. Let me ask you something. How do you think, when you're not in the room, mom and dad, think hypothetically. Fast forward 15 years. Your kids are on their own. How do you think that relationship with God is going to go at that time when they have that conversation? Remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So fearing God is the beginning, not the end. I ain't going to get knowledge unless I fear God and I fear consequences. Remember the passage. You and I are setting our children up for an insurmountable amount of spankings with God. Listen, time out, listen. If and only if they even care to have a relationship with God then. How many times do I get to disobey this before it hurts? You and I need to be teaching our kids that disobedience isn't worth the consequences. Which means this, one of the first steps to teaching our kids honor is to teach them first time obedience. Look, Cheris, look at me, sweetheart. Mommy and daddy said no. Which means one thing, baby. The answer is no. And listen, sweetheart, if you take my answer of no to chocolate milk at 10:30 at night, baby girl, and you choose to go pout over on the couch and well up the big crocodile tears to melt my heart because you're my baby girl, if you're willingly, outright, defiantly going to do the opposite of what I'm just telling you right now, baby girl, I'm telling you, because you can't have a chance. So some of you are still questioning, saying, why would I parent this way? Why would I? You might still not have been convinced. And I'm not up here to try to convince you otherwise. I'm just up here to share with you some truth of what the Bible has to say about certain things. And that's between you and God, okay? That's the only way I can walk out of here with a good conscience. But here's why you would parent this way. This is the suggestion. I promise you, you want your kids to get God's no the first time. Promise you. God, I get it. You said no, which means the answer is no. And this is the King of Josh, and you'll find this out from Claire and Susie when you're in there. It doesn't mean maybe. It doesn't mean we'll see. It means no. I get it, God, because the consequence that I will receive from you if I do it anyway isn't worth me dishonoring you with doing it. So, Josh, what does that look like in my life, okay? All right, I'll nibble at the bait that you're putting out there. Give me some feedback here of how do I go about making the changes in my parenting right now? How do I move from what the modern family looks like to what God's family looks like? We'll go into that a little bit more next week. But this week, action step number one, a simple possible, clearly capable action step this week. What is that? How do I parent this way? When I walk out these doors and I get this today, can we go get buffalo wings at Pizza Hut? Which I'm going to get from Isaac. I promise I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it. Can we do that? How do I move to parent this way? Simple. Ready? Eliminate part-time obedience. Enforce first-time obedience. Just start there. Just start there. Now, this is where I got to change it just for a second. I know the answer really sounds simpler than actually, because you're like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, you just don't understand, because I've got a kid that just will not. Oh, yes, I do understand. I got three kids of all three different personalities. I understand. And we will get into dealing with different kids and different personalities and still being able to accomplish this thing. But here's what you need to get from the get-go. Okay, ready? Take your eyes off of your kids and go look in the mirror, because it starts with you. Okay? It's not your kids' fault that they're dishonoring. It's our fault. What do you mean by that? Let's go back to the passage of Scripture. Let me ask this, honestly. Answer it to yourself. Mom, Dad, today, do you fear God? Do you fear the consequences, the spanking that will come from God if you don't teach your children honor? I don't even know how to do it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Ta-da! The concept of parenting starts with me. If I fear God, if I fear Him, and the consequences that come from Him, if I don't raise my children right, I ain't gonna get knowledge. But guess what happens when I fear God? I get knowledge on how to raise my children and how to instill honor within my children. If you can't begin to do that, it doesn't matter how old your kids are, you can't win. I'm going all Talia Shire right now in Rocky Balboa. You can't win. You can't, and you won't. Make the change yourself. Then the Lord will give you what's promised of fearing Him and consequences. Knowledge. Knowledge on how to teach and train honor to your child, no matter their age. Okay, I'm almost done, but I feel it necessary to say this at the end of today's message. I don't think it would be too wise of me to not offer this. Why? And again, I'll preface it. Some of it's mine. Some of this is my thinking. But I'm basing it off of 18 to 20 years in full-time vocational ministry and seeing this in the church today of why there seems to be a big-time lack of honor in addition to what we just all talked about. So don't disregard all that. Why the modern family looks like it does today. I personally believe why the modern family lacks honor today, outside of what I just said, also deals with this, because the wrong person is leading the home. What do you mean? I.e., mama. Now, please don't hear what I'm not saying, okay? I'm not saying that mama doesn't have or isn't supposed to do any leading in the home spiritually. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is this. According to this very valuable piece of literature, this tells me that mama wasn't intended to be the primary spiritual leader in the home. let me tell you right now, because I saw this, and when I said this stuff in the last service, I saw some single mamas or mamas that are married, but they're just here being the spiritual leader in this home. Praise God for you if you're here today and you're that mama. And I'm here to tell you as your pastor, thank you. Thank you for fearing God. You are to be commended, especially today, when the day is all about you. And you keep going. Don't quit. Don't quit regardless of the circumstances that you face at home, regardless of the cowardice actions of a man at your home. Regardless of that, you keep going. Why do I think this concept is huge? I think there's even great godly leaders that know the importance of this. Listen, this might surprise you. Several years ago, I watched an in-depth interview on TV that was given by David Frost with Billy Graham. Billy Graham. We're talking like Paul and Billy Graham. You know what I'm talking about. Billy Graham. And it was an unusual interview because Billy Graham allowed David Frost to kind of no holds barred, ask any questions that you wanted. Let's just get to the heart. Rip it out, put it on the table. Let people hear the real Billy Graham. And among the comments that I found most profound on me and effective on me as I listened were his comments regarding spiritual impact that he regretted the most as he looked back over his life. And without hesitation, the Billy Graham commented that his deepest regret was that he had not spent more time with his children. Billy Graham. He then proceeded to speak about the godliness of his wife, Ruth, who had raised their children pretty much, and while Billy was out reaching the world through his evangelistic crusades. And now, here's where I step back and I'm like, no, nobody can point a finger at Billy Graham. Don't you dare point a finger at Billy. He's more of a spiritual father to his kids than many of us are today, if any of us are today. But even this guy recognized that. And no one's going to fault his marvelous work and the millions of people that will be in heaven because of his work. No one's going to point the finger at that. But it was a moving reminder to me to look back on his life as he did and regret that he had not been more active in the spiritual upbringing of his children. The Billy Graham. Let me ask you something. Don't answer it out loud, but listen. I wonder how many people in here today would be able to say they know somebody who attributed their spiritual upbringing to a godly mother or grandmother simply because they didn't have a spiritual godly man or father figure in their life. I can tell you this, being in ministry for 18 to 20 full-time vocational ministry years, I have known more that would point to a spiritual mother or spiritual grandmother than they would to a spiritual father. In just casual conversation. I've known more. It seems to be the pattern today of what the modern family looks like, but it's not God's plan. Actually, this common approach of husbands or dads today undermines the spiritual moorings of children today who must have strong signals of spiritual leadership from their fathers. I told you I was going to make you mad today. The father's spiritual input. Listen, hear this, please. The father's spiritual input, in particular to the theme in which we're talking about today, honor, is crucial. It is vital. It is essential to the development of honor in children. However, it's the mothers that are more involved in raising their children spiritually and providing the spiritual leadership in the modern family today. Can I just say this right now? Again, it can't be said enough. Many mamas that are in this room today are the true spiritual heroes. And I know some of you are like, you know what? You can just keep on preaching, preacher, because you're bringing it hard. And you just bring the thunder with you. Keep it going. Keep it going. You know what? I won't do that because I know I've gotten up in the grill of some guys today. And I love you, but I don't care. I love you, but I don't care. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? I do love you because if I didn't really care, I wouldn't say that to you. But here's what I do know. I won't go on this today because I've reserved a whole week on it on June 17th for Father's Day and a message called Pastor Dad. I love it. I love it. And some of you guys are out there like, yes, I know I'm not coming that week. And that's cool. Hey, listen, I'm telling you right now as a pastor, it's cool. Skip church that week. I don't care. Because I would not want to be in your shoes when mama, who will be here that day, will translate that message to you. All right? Stay at home. Stay at home. It's all good with me. Stay at home. All right, I'll wrap this up. Do me a favor. Stand to your feet. Eyes wide open. Nobody leaves. Eyes wide open. Nobody leaves. And you guys get a special treat today because actually after we sing this song, we're gonna do something really cool. Some moms and dads have actually stepped forward and said, we'd like to give our child back to God today in a baby dedication, which is really cool. So we're going to do that at the end of this service. And if you leave, then it might kind of be disrespectful to them. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning. The end? The beginning of knowledge. I kind of intentionally left this last part off, but I'm going to go ahead and say it out loud right now. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Man, I hope I'm not raising a fool in three children. Starts with you. Action step number one. Mom, do you fear God today? If you do, knowledge is in store for you. Knowledge on how to be a good mom. Dad, do you fear God today? Because if you do, knowledge is in your future to be a godly father the way that God intended. If you don't, folks, maybe you need to understand, and you have understood a little more clearly today, why your kids might not fear you. You can change your life. You can change the way you parent. You can change the trajectory of what your modern family may be looking like. Because that's what this moment is all about. Contrary to what you may think, we don't get up here and just like, one more song. No. This is now God's moment. This is for you to take what you've heard, digest it, chew on it, and either throw it up and leave and not do anything if God's telling you to do it, or to come forward and to make it right. There's no time like the present to make things right with God. And again, I can't reiterate enough about the parentology thing. And forgive us, we made a mistake. We forgot to put the dates on here. Again, it starts June 24th, goes through July 29th. But listen, guys, I'm going to give you a tip on something because we desire so much that you go farther with Jesus Christ than on a Sunday morning. On here, we have three times that you can take the class. 9 a.m., which is first service, 10:45 a.m., which is second service, and 12:30, which means that you don't have to teach in C-City and then go to the class and miss church. We are trying to eliminate every possible excuse from you and for you. So here's what the moment's about today. What is God calling you to do? Many of you need to sign up for this thing. You need to fill it out, come forward, drop your name inside the basket. That's what this time is for, you and God. Some of you moms and dads are saying, you know what? We need to start fearing God a little bit more. That's why the whole front row, no one's sitting on. For you just to pray. Make things right with God. Commit today that I will be back next week to hear the second week of this service, of this series. Single mamas, whether you're single by choice or not choice, need some support? Need someone to wrap their arm around you today? Come on forward. We'll be here for you. We'll be here for you and remind you who can be that spiritual father in your child's life, Jesus. Let me pray for you today. Give you the courage to make a decision. Jesus, thanks so much for my friends. Thank you for those that have come today, and I'm asking, Lord, that you would move in a mighty way and give someone some courage today to make a decision for you, to change the way maybe they're parenting, to actually instill within themselves some fear of you, God, so you'll provide the knowledge for them to raise their children accordingly. God, would you move mighty, mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen.